Hey, we're going to head to Malachi chapter number 3 today. If you want to head in that direction or open it up, Malachi chapter number 3. And look at a few different verses as we often do, but it's going to be our primary text. Looking at a message titled Book of Remembrance, which is a real book that the Bible speaks of. And we'll consider that today and some truth surrounding it. Malachi chapter number 3. As you're flipping there, just to reiterate a couple of things that Sister D mentioned. Friday night, boy, we'd love to have you out with us. I know a bunch of couples had already signed up. There is a sign-up sheet in the lobby. If you forget to sign up, you could contact the office during the week. But we do want to know ahead of time so that we know how many people to prepare for. We order the food in advance and things like that. So it's very helpful for us to know who's coming to that couple's dinner. So it is Friday night. We have a lot of fun. 6:30 p.m. starts a little early than things normally do because it includes dinner. We'd love to have you out for that. And of course, those other things that were mentioned are such key things as well. Malachi chapter 3, let me read that and jump in with you today. Verses 16 through 18. It says this, "Then those who feared the Lord," does anybody in here fear the Lord? Come on, it's the beginning of wisdom, amen? It doesn't mean being afraid of God. It's talking about a reverence and awe regarding God as holy. "Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance," now that's a book in Malachi's day. Of course, a book was a scroll at that time, "or a book of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. On the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession." That is, those who feared God and who are written about in this book. He says, "I will spare them just as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not." Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we're so grateful for your word. I pray that as we consider this text and some others that connect with it as well, it will once again, Lord God, be light and life to us, fresh bread to nourish us and help us to grow in our walk with you, Lord God. So speak to our hearts and our minds and equip us, remind us, reassure us of who we are in you through it, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. And church, would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you that I am your treasured possession. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. There's a passage elsewhere in Isaiah where the prophet Isaiah is speaking of some things that were to come for the children of God. And in that passage in the 60s, in the chapters of the 60s, as Isaiah is speaking of what's to come, he speaks of how God is going to bring judgment for sin. But in that same context, he also talks about how God is going to bring salvation for his people and how he's going to bring deliverance for his people. And although the nations would be judged for sin, his people would be protected and his people would be spared. So it was a message that was frightening in some ways and yet very reassuring in other ways. But when Isaiah preached this message to his audience at that time and was saying what God was going to do, his audience, those who were listening to him, the children of God in that day, they were not receptive of the word. Instead, they were very resistant to it, and they cried out, no. They cried out, we don't want that. And Isaiah said, but God's going to judge sin, but don't worry, God's going to bring salvation and deliverance to his people. People said, no. We don't want that plan. That isn't what we want to do. And what they basically were saying is, we just want to do what we want to do. We just want to do our own thing, what we want to do. We don't want God's plan. We want to make our own plan. But in that context of Isaiah saying what was to come and the people crying out, no, we don't want that, we then get these words that Isaiah speaks as he's speaking for God in Isaiah 65:6, where he says this, "See, it stands written before me." What was God saying? God was saying, "I already wrote it down. I already wrote it down." So you can say no all you want, I don't want it, but God is saying, I already wrote it down. It's already the plan, and once God writes something, it is eternal, and it stands forever. That is it. Nothing is going to change it at that point. It is done. It is in writing. Even in our day, if we had a legal document that was in writing and you signed your name to it, that's it. You don't get to stand before a judge sometime later and say, I changed my mind. I don't want to make the car payments anymore. Is the judge going to hear that? All he's going to be interested in is what? What's written down? What is on the paper? What did you sign? It's all, oh no, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to be in this contract. It won't matter. What is in writing is what will matter. What your name is upon, and even greater than a written contract in our day, would be something that God writes, far more binding. God says, see, it stands written before me. So he is saying there's no changing it now. Now, this writing that is referred to in Isaiah, he's talking about something that isn't written anywhere here on earth. It's written before God. It was written in heaven. When he says it's written before me, he's not talking about our paper Bible. He's not talking about something that we would have access to. He's talking about something written in heaven. A lot is written in heaven. In fact, when we speak about the Word of God, we, of course, mean the Bible that we have access to, is what we're referencing when we see that. We say the Word of God. I have a digital Bible up here on the stage with me, but when I come to the front of the room, I virtually always bring a paper Bible with me as well, because as much as I love technology, I don't completely trust it. So just in case my iPad crashes, I always like knowing that I have a paper with me as well that I can jump back to, especially when I'm in this situation. But when we see that, we have the Word of God that is here, and whether it's digital or on paper, we would say e-version or tree version, it's God's Word. Come on, amen? God's Word is just as inspired written on your t-shirt as it is hanging on that wall as it is on this piece of paper. If it's the Word of God, it's God's Word. Amen? It's God's Word. So remember that, regardless of the format. But when we say God's Word, we know that the Bible is God's Word. We know that God has revealed himself to us through his Word. It's how we get to know God is through the Bible. But this isn't the only thing that God has had written. There are other things that are written as well, but you and I don't have access to them, because they're written in heaven. The Bible speaks about them, but they're not written here. This is, if you want to hear from God here, this is it. Tell your neighbor, that's it. This is what we have right here, all right? So when your neighbor comes next Sunday and say, I found another book from God, nope, you smack him on the back of the neck and say, quit acting the fool. Don't do that. Yeah, but anyway, this is it. This is it here on earth. But in heaven, there are other things that are written from God. And that's what we read there from Isaiah. When God says it's written before me, it's written in his presence, there in his throne room. It doesn't matter whether it's written on earth or written in heaven. When God writes it down or has it written down, that's it. It's settled. God, it's done. God had it written. It is done at that time. We read where the psalmist writes that his days were written of in God's book before any of them came to be. We believe that promise over all of our lives. But when the psalmist says that it was written in God's book, he's not talking about the Bible. He's talking about a book in heaven that is God's book, where God wrote about your days and God wrote about my days before any of them came to be. That's a tremendous promise from God's Word that we hold on to. I assure you, there are things written about you and your life in God's book, and nothing that is ever going to happen on earth is going to change what God has written about you. Hello. God has declared things over you in your life. They are written in what the psalmist calls God's book, and they're done. They're going to happen. Nothing's going to change those things. God has already written them over your life as well. And that's what Malachi speaks about here also when he talks about this book of remembrance or the scroll of remembrance. There's no book yet at this time. The modern printing press wasn't going to come along for quite some time. But he speaks of this book, and it is a work in progress that is written in the presence of God. And what's unique about it is each of us has the opportunity to contribute to this book and to its contents in some way, which is pretty amazing that we're looking at here. God is who writes this book or has it written, but it is written listening in on the conversations of those who love and trust and fear the Lord. So every one of us has opportunity to contribute to this book every single day, and many of us have already contributed to it even today. Look at verse 16 with me again. It says this, "Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name." Now, we're going to especially consider in just a bit the things that are written in verses 17 and 18 that follow that verse I just read about those who are written about in this book. But let me just hang out on this one for just a little bit first, this book of remembrance. Who are there's some readers in the room, I'm sure. Who are some of your favorite authors? Somebody call out a favorite author to me. Whose books do you like to read? John Grisham. My wife and I are John Grisham nuts. We've read like all those books. Yeah, they're suspense thrillers. Yeah. Somebody else, a favorite author. James Patterson. Somebody else. Tim LaHaye. Somebody else. Dr. Seuss. No, nobody said that. Yeah. But we have different authors that are favorite authors of ours, and he is a pretty good writer. But anyway, so Hop on Pop, come on, it's a classic. It's a classic. So we have Dips of Gold. It won't be anything whatsoever like Georgia Avenue, because there would be no more construction on it and potholes, and you won't knock your car out of alignment or whatever. Sometimes something comes out of our mouth that perhaps shouldn't come out of our mouth. Hello, am I right? Am I to adore God are talking to each other. So although we aren't told exactly what's written, some prayer for some situations, but he's out and had been cleared up, the initial thing. And so she came to tell me that as a testimony. Hey, we prayed for this, and look at what God has done. Amen? God has done it. He's worked this out. You know what? The book of remembrance is when a believer is telling another believer what God has done, that God turns to his heavenly scribe to say, write that down. Write that down, that my child just gave me praise and thanked me for what I did. Put that down in the book of remembrance. When the children of God get together and speak with each other about the things of God, God records it in this book. Imagine you went to a meeting at work, and let's say you had a stressful meeting this week coming up at work, and you went to your brother or your sister in Christ, and you came to them and you were like, man, Justin, I need you to pray with me because I got this meeting coming up, and I'm, you know, it's really weighing heavy on me. And he prays with you, and then you go in and it goes well. And then I come back to you and I tell you, man, God was with me. His presence was there. It went so well. God says, write that down. Write that down. That we're not going to forget about the time that my child told his brother, his sister in Christ about the good thing that I did and built their faith. We're going to record that for eternity, that took place. Praise God. These are the kind of things that get in this book. Now, this is big, because if I was rewarded in heaven based on my own memory of what I did on earth, I would stand before a holy God who is so perfect and so holy. And if he were to ask me, how'd it go? Probably my mind would just only go to the places where I messed up. I would just be like, it didn't go so good. I got to be honest with you. I really didn't live up to who I should have been or could have been along the way, God, and I'm sorry. But instead, God's not going to leave the memory up to me. Hello. God's keeping the record. God's recording what is going on, and he's got this great book there, this book of remembrance. And the Bible tells us that we get to contribute to the book. Those who contribute to it are those who are special to God. They're dear to God's heart as we thank God for what he's done. So let me show you how this works really quick. If you're an introvert, I'm about to scare you half to death. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up real quick. I'm only going to give you like 30 seconds. You're only going to have like 30 seconds. So you can't go walking off across the room. You got to turn to somebody right by you. Just, you're going to turn to somebody and you're just going to testify of something that God has done. Maybe you're just going to thank God for something. You're just going to thank God for something he's done in your life. You're just going to give God praise for something that he's done in your life. Go ahead and turn to somebody and do it really quick. All across the room. You got about 30 seconds. You got about 30 seconds. Tell somebody, here's what God did for me. Here's what God did in my life. You're doing great. You're doing great. You got about 20 more seconds, maybe 10. Man, this is a lot of stuff God has done because I hear talking all around the room. All right, you got about 5 more seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. You're done. You're done. I know you love each other. All right, now, there was a whole lot of writing that went on in heaven just now. A lot of writing went on in heaven just now, because the Bible says when those who fear the Lord are together and we speak with one another, that this book of remembrance is written concerning those things, which means you get to contribute to the book by giving God glory, by giving God praise. And that's pretty exciting to think about, that one day you'll get there and enter into the presence of God and this book will be pulled off and you'll be like, man, I forgot I even talked about that, and I forgot that even happened, and oh yeah, that's right. And God keeps track of these things that we did where we honored and glorified him along the way. Now, this promise of this book of remembrance is given in the context of Malachi mentioning, just like Isaiah's passage that I referred to, it's in the context of God saying that judgment was going to come for people living in sin. So this was given as a promise, as an assurance. If people were to think, oh no, what's going to happen to us? They were being assured, no, don't worry. God's keeping track. He remembers what you've done. He remembers the good things you've done, the good things that you have spoken. He knows that. He's aware of them. He's keeping a record of it. But then he also gives some promises over the people who contribute to the book. And that's all of those of us who are in Christ, who are in relationship with him. The first thing he says over them, and we read it in verse number 17, he says, they shall be mine. They shall be mine. Now, he's saying this in the context of talking about in a day of judgment where things will be very difficult here on earth. He's saying those who contribute to this book, they're going to be his. The Bible declares that we are the redeemed of the Lord. Amen? That means we have been purchased by him. We've been purchased by him. I read a story one time written by a young man who had built a model boat. Not like when I was a kid, I think I built a boat out of popsicle sticks one time, but it wasn't much to it, all right? But this was like an incredible boat, like a tall ship. It had like, you know, where he had like little ropes and sails all over it. It was really impressive. It took him like months to build it, and it was like this big model boat that was incredible. Anybody ever build models or anything? No, we're not a very creative church. All right, so anyway. but we did have some good authors, so at least we read. So he builds this model boat, and it's so nice, and it turns out, and then he decides he's going to put it in the water. So he takes it down to this creek that's down from his house where he lives, not too far away, and he sets it in the water, but as it's floating, it gets away from him. And the water picks up speed, and he loses the boat that he put so much work into building. He couldn't find it. It got away from him. It was gone. Some time went by, a number of weeks go by, and he was in a thrift store in town one day. And when he walked in, what is on the shelf for sale in the thrift store? His boat. His boat. He knows it's his boat. He recognizes it right off. He has no way of proving that it's his, but he walks in. It's like, there's my boat. So guess what he did? He bought it. He bought his own boat because he knew it was his and he wanted it back. That's what God did for you and I. He's who made us. We were lost as a result of sin, so he bought us back. He purchased us with the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He bought us. So the Bible then says we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. The God who made us, that's what redeemed means. He buys us back, and purchased us back to be his. He says there, they shall be mine. That's who we are, praise God. Now that's twofold, and it's called to us, we shall be his. It's a call to live with all of our hearts for the God who bought us. We're his, so we should serve him. But it's also a reassurance that God will always be there for us. Now, we know how protective we are of our own children, of our own loved ones. Think about how God is with you as well. We were in New York for the last couple of days visiting my sons, and my wife and I have three grandchildren now, which is incredible to think about, but we really do, and I checked the DNA. They really are ours or something. But anyway, so we have these kids, and so we're there, and we're visiting, and the oldest one is 4 years old, so we're hanging out with the four-year-old, and basically it meant I was a punching bag for the last 2 days, because that's what you are when you're the pop with the four-year-old. So, but we're there, but my son Zach has a six-month-old baby girl, and she's adorable. I mean, she is so much cuter than any of your children or grandchildren. It's unbelievable. She's adorable. Your kids don't look anywhere near as nice as she does. So, and I'm there, and I'm playing with her. Her name is Rochelle, and I'm playing with her on the floor, and I've finally gotten her where, you know, because we're not with her all the time, where she's laughing and smiling, and I'm having fun with her, and I'm laying down on the floor, and she's there, and she's sitting up, and she starts to tilt, because she doesn't really have the whole gravity thing down, and she's only 6 months old, and she's falling over is what's happened. And as she's falling over, there's a chair here, and she's clearly going to hit her head on the chair. So I reach out quick to catch her and snatch her to keep her from hitting her head on the chair. But as a result of that, it scared her, and now she doesn't like me anymore. So it's true. For the next day, it was like any time I got near, hey, how are you? Wah! So she's afraid of me because I grabbed her to say. But the grabbing her is what you would do for your own child or your own loved one as well. If someone's about to be hurt, you snatch them. You're saving them. You're keeping them from getting hurt. Come on, that's just us as people. That God is protective of us as well. God, you are his. Remember that you are his. That is the first promise over those who contribute to the book. The second one he said was, they are my treasured possession. They are my treasured possession. We used to say that if God had a wallet, he would have your picture in it. But most of us don't have pictures in our wallets anymore. Where are our pictures now? They're on our phones. Our pictures are on our phones. So, but what happens if you take a lot of pictures, like I tend to do, is over time, your phone gets full. Anybody ever have it happen where you can't take any more pictures? Yeah, a number of you in here, you're there all together, and then you're like checking your phone and trying to figure out where you put more film in, and you can't figure out how it works, and that's not true. Your phone doesn't really have film. But anyway, so you're there, and you got your phone, and it tells you no more pictures. No more pictures, you're done. You got to get rid of something. So when this happens, I open my phone, I go to the photos, I'm like, all right, something's got to go. Something's got to go. That sunset from the other week, you're out. Can't keep you. Last week's lunch, you're gone. Can't keep you anymore. And you're scrolling through. I can't keep you. One time I took a picture of Hector, you're out. Nope, you're done. Yep. You didn't make the cut. You didn't make the cut. Yep. Took a picture. I was here at church. I took a picture of it. Nope, you're gone. Yep. Can't. You know what doesn't get cut? My kids, that little baby granddaughter, maybe my nephews and nieces, they always make the cut. When I'm going through picking which pictures can't stay, those pictures don't get deleted. They always make the cut. I save those pictures because they're special. I know that God's cell phone probably has an incredible amount of memory. I mean, come on, he's probably got the latest version for sure. But when God goes through his phone to delete pictures to make room, you always make the cut. You don't get deleted. You don't. He says it. You're his treasured possession. You're special to him. Now, my Uncle Jimmy, and I know that's also my name, but we're white, so remember, we only have like five names. So anyway, I know that sounds funny, but just, you know, we're just kind of recycling the same names over and over again. So anyway, so there's a lot of us in the family with the same name. So Jimmy, Michael, David, there's just not that many names that we pick from. Yeah. So my Uncle Jimmy, he's a tremendous guy. You know, he served in the Marines for many years and fought in Vietnam and came back and went through tough stuff in his life when he came back. There's a lot of folks who do coming back from conflict, but he finally met this woman named Maria and fell in love and looked like it'd be good. And he went to the tattoo parlor and he got a tattoo on his arm, on his shoulder right here, of her picture on his arm with her name under it, Maria, right here on his shoulder. This is a good place for you to go, aw. Yeah. And then they broke up. So then he went back to the tattoo parlor and he had him tattoo the word void over her picture. This is true. So to this day, my Uncle Jimmy, he has a tattoo of Maria on his arm, and written over her face, it says void right there on his arm. Oh, that's crazy. That's crazy to even think about. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. In Isaiah chapter 49, God says over his treasured possession, see, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. This is how permanent we are in him. We are his treasured possession. And I can assure you that God is never writing void over you on his hand, all right? He treasures you. He values you. We are the treasured possession of God. And somehow God is able to love every one of his children as if all of us were his favorite. He's able to show such favor to each and every one of us, and remember that. But then he goes on and he says one more thing as well that I want to sneak in. He says, he says we're his treasured possession. Then he says, and I will spare them. Remember, this word is coming from Malachi in the context of a day of judgment coming. So God is saying of his children, lest they would fear what's going to happen to us in a tough time. He's saying, but I'm going to spare you. I will spare them. So this is reassuring in this context. We don't need to live in fear. We're his. He treasures us. There's a record of us in the book of remembrance. He can pull that book out and read about the times we gave him praise and honored his name. Now, in my office, I mentioned authors before. I have a lot of books, and there are hundreds and hundreds in my office. I don't know how many, but one of the walls around the corner is filled with them, and we have books at home as well, and I like books and like to read, so I have all these books in there. But in the midst of the books, there's something in there that you wouldn't even know is there unless I showed you. Between random books in my office, there are cards slid in there. like greeting cards slid between different books in my office. And some of them are from my sons and things like that, but most of the cards that have made it to my office are from my wife that are in there. And my wife will write me a card and she writes me a note and I look at the card and I think, oh, that's nice. And then I slide it in the shelf between two books and I keep it there. And then if it ever happens that my wife and I were to go through a difficult time, who's married? All right, so everybody who raised their hand knows what I'm talking about. All right, so, or has been married. Yeah, so if it was ever happened that we went through a tough time where maybe we're just not clicking or whatever else, I can go in my office and I pull cards out and I'll slide it out and I open up and I read about how handsome I am and how wonderful I am and how much she loves me and how special I am. And I'm like, wow, she must need a new prescription or glasses or... Now I read all these nice things and I know this is what she believes about me and this is who she thinks I am. And even though maybe we're upset or whatever, I know this is true. Listen, as simple as that is, God's got a book of remembrance written about you. Written about you. And if you think, oh, God must be just remembering when I blow it, that doesn't make it in the book. That's not what's in the book. What's in the book is when you honor and glorify him and speak of him. That's what goes in the book of remembrance. That's what God is choosing to remember about you as well. In that book that he's recording. He's recorded the words that you spoke exalting him. And if you ever think, well, what if I stumble, which we do, or God what if God gets sick of me and wants to bring judgment on me or decides not to let me into his presence? No, my friends. That's not the God that we serve. Now, God won't make light of sin. God doesn't make light of sin because God knows how dangerous sin is. And God knows that sin separates us from him. Plus, it just wrecks our lives. So God doesn't make light of sin. He wants us to turn from sin. He wants us to serve him with all our heart because he knows sin just messes up our journey and messes up our lives along the way. So this is not in any way to make light of sin. But the Bible tells us that it is the kindness of God that leads us to repentance, that draws us back to him to think, wow, this is who the God is that I serve. He's a God who delights in showing mercy, and he spares us, is what he said through Malachi, praise God. He has future plans for us. Such knowledge like that should draw us nearer to God and farther from sin and give us a desire to love God even more than we already do, knowing that God could never love us more than he already does. Come on, he loves us. Amen? He loves us with an everlasting love. Just a final thought, and I'll close this. I read an account that a guy wrote one time who had adopted a daughter. He and his wife had adopted a daughter. She was probably about 12 years old. I don't remember exactly, but I remember being like young teenage years when this happened in it. But about 12 years old when they had adopted her. She had already gone through some tough stuff in her life, and they knew adopting her was going to be a challenge because of the age that she already was, but they wanted to do it, and they adopted her in their home. And after about a year or so had gone by, it got tough. It was very difficult. She was very challenging to them. They were really having a tough time managing her. They were having a hard time knowing what to do. And this gentleman who was the father in this situation, he was speaking with a coworker one time and expressing to the coworker some of what was going on. Like, you know, we're really having a tough time, and this is a lot more challenging than we ever thought it was going to be. And his coworker says to him, "Why don't you give her back? She's not really yours," is what he said. And he said to his coworker, and what he wrote down, he says, "But I told her she was. I told her she was. I could never give her back. I told her she's mine. She is mine now." I want you to remember that that's God's relationship with you as well. You're his. He's not giving you back. Nothing is snatching you out of his hand. He's holding you. He's keeping you. He loves you. Amen? That's who you are to him. Remember that in your relationship with him as well. And while all of that is true, and we're his, and we're his treasured possession, and he spares us in the judgment, between now and then, I want you to remember that there is this book that is still being written, and you are a primary contributor, and every time you speak to someone exalting the name of the Lord, your book gets bigger. And you don't want to get to heaven one day and you're there and you're like, where is my book of remembrance? Where's and you walk in and you come in and Saul says, "Where's my book of remembrance?" And they say, "Oh, you got a little booklet." No. You don't want that. You want there to be volumes, right? You want there to be volumes of books of all that you gave God praise for and that he did in your life. Of, wow, look at how you honored me with the life that you lived. You get to contribute to it. You've already contributed to it today. Contribute to it all the time. At school, at work, at church, at home. Give God glory for the things that he's done. Amen? Remembering who you are in him. And those who contribute to this book, these things are true over them. They're mine, they're my treasured possession, and I will spare them, says the Lord. It's written, so it's so. Would you stand with me? Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Justin, maybe you come and help me out. Amen. Thank you, Lord. See you, Ken, as well. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you, keep adding to the book. Keep giving God glory and praise. Now, as I share these things, if you've joined us today and you say, man, that's amazing. And Pastor, you're saying, you know, that who contributes to this book and who these things are true over of my treasured possession and they're mine and I will spare them. You're saying that that's true of those who fear the Lord, those who are in relationship with him. That's true. So if you've joined us today and you're not in a relationship with God, you're not really living for God, I want all these things to be true over your life as well. And God definitely wants them to be true over your life. So if you ended up in church today and you're not really living for God, you're just living for yourself, today's the day to change that. Today's the day to say, you know what, God, forgive me of my sins. Jesus, live in my heart and be the Lord of my life. I want to live for you. Today's the day to make a decision to follow him. And I hope you won't leave here today without choosing to do just that, because God wants to adopt you into his family. You know that little story I told at the end where the guy said, but I told her she was mine. God wants to call you his. God wants to call you his. So I encourage you to make a decision to follow him. And if that's a decision you make today that's a new one or a decision of recommitment, don't leave today without telling somebody you do it. Tell somebody you're doing it. Whoever you came to church with, or you can come down and tell me afterwards, but let somebody know that you're choosing to follow God and live for him, because the Bible teaches us that we're a family, the family of God, and we're just going to want to help you to live for him and live this life together and walk in him. So don't try to do it by yourself. Let somebody else know that you're choosing to follow him as well. For all of us, we've got this assurance today of who we are to God and that we get to contribute to this book. Amen? Let's do so. Let's glorify him. Let's honor him with our lives. Let me pray over you now. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you. We thank you. Justin and Cece sang earlier, nothing could separate us, Lord God. Nothing could separate us, Lord, not from your love. Oh, we mean too much to you, Lord God. We thank you for the assurance that that brings. I thank you that we're yours. Like maybe there's a brother or a sister of mine, Lord God, who came to church today a little downcast, maybe struggling. Maybe they've stumbled in their own journey. Maybe just things have happened that haven't looked good. But God, I know just because we haven't seen the answer yet, even as with Abraham, you've already provided. And we know that who your word says we are is who we are in you. It's written before you. And what is written is true. So I pray that that will strengthen our faith and give us hope as we live for you this week. Bless us, keep us by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.